It may seem impossible for you. Let's pray together. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each with a staff in hand because of their great age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in it. It's a tender image, and then one that may feel especially far away, especially impossible this week. It comes to us in longing and lament as Russia invades Ukraine, as trans children in Texas are made into political pawns, as books are banned and burned in courtyards. Old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each with a staff in their hands because of their great age, and the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in its streets. A promise. The writer of Zechariah prefaces this prophecy with a confession from God. I am jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I am jealous for her with great wrath. What does this have to do with that? I don't think of jealousy as a good thing. And you may be thinking, what is going on here? How is God, who is perfect and complete without need, jealous? Part of the problem may be that we use the words jealousy and envy and coveting all interchangeably. But in the Bible, there's important and subtle differences here. Envy comes from emptiness. It comes from not having something someone else has. Here is a short list of a few things I've envied in this past week in no particular order. The ability of a friend to grasp theological concepts faster than me, twice as much money, a beach house in Belize. This isn't a wish list. These are things that other people have that I want because I don't have them, and not having them creates competitiveness and distance between me and my neighbor. The emotion I felt, what we call the experience of seeing and wanting what other people have, that feeling of a sense of incompleteness about who I am, that's called envy. Evagrius called envy a form of sadness because it's one of the sins I don't enjoy. I don't like the feeling of wanting what other people have. I don't like wanting what other people have, even when that thing is a good thing. Being really good about thinking about things is a good thing. And that's one of the funniest things about Christianity, is that we have to be told what it means to sin. We actually can't figure it out on our own. And envy is such a good example of this. I'm guessing that just about every other place in your life outside of here tells you the opposite of what I just said. This week, I came across an article in the Economic Times refuting each of the seven deadly sins as necessary for our economy. Here's what it said about envy. The need to want and to do more is a form of evolution in humans, pushing us to go beyond our limits, out of our comfort zone, and yes, even evolve by creating new things to make our lives better. When times are tough and resources short, those who have more than their share will be able to stick it out longer. That actually makes sense. If your purpose on earth is to survive the longest, to create the best things that create more things to increase your wealth, envy is not only good, it's necessary. It drives you to want more, to do more, to be more, to get more. And that's why in the church, envy is a sin. creating a life that is driven by getting things that you don't have that other people do, it's actually a bad life. Amassing resources for your survival, for your family's survival, as others wither away around you, that's a bad life. Spending your time chained to an economy that tramples over disability and old age and illness, that is a bad life. But if your purpose is to share what you have, to release your possessions for the good of others, if your purpose in life is to receive what you need in gratitude from others who have more, if your purpose is to look clear-eyed with love into the eyes of another and say, you actually have enough now, that's a good life. To say, I'm just as I ought to be. To see the purpose of this life is to be enfolded into the gracious life of God's abundant love for creatures. There's just no room for envy in that life. So we don't spend our time obsessing over what other people have and plotting how to get it. Envy comes from emptiness, but jealousy comes from another place. It actually comes from being full. In the Bible, almost every time someone is jealous, that someone is God. And the someone who evokes the response of jealousy is us. God's jealousy doesn't come from a lack, from wanting something God doesn't have. These are people who are already in relationship with God, who are chosen by God. Do you remember wanting a best friend? Does anybody have that? Like having a best friend? In my household, there's like a lot of talk about like, oh, my 7 best friends. Like, but that's the whole thing. It's not just a group of friends. It's a best friend. And I remember several times in my life, most especially in elementary school, the feeling of jealousy. It's a relational anxiety. I had claimed someone as a best friend and they started to be friends with someone else. And I wondered, wait, aren't I enough of a friend for you? Why do you need other friends? I have this big love for you. But I'm also a person and my love and friendship weren't perfect. I just wanted that person to myself. Maybe there's more in common between my jealousy and envy than I care to let on. But God isn't me. My love was big and it's good, but God's love is big and real and good and perfect. And in the Bible, we get a sense of exhaustion, anger, and frustration of watching someone you love get involved with something that hurts them, that's bad for them. God watches the people God loves go after a mirage of love, after things that will harm them. In the Hebrew Bible, that stuff can be really bad, like cults that sacrifice children. Another time, it's just a waste of time, pouring out offerings and goods before rocks or sticks or asking a piece of metal to answer your prayer. The reason God expresses this emotion in the Bible isn't because God is in competition with other things like idols of stone or our careers or money or families or moralism. All of that distracts people from the big, real, good grace of God. And the only reason that matters is that God really, really likes you. God's jealousy, unlike mine, comes from completion, from wholeness. God doesn't want other things. God wants you. God loves you. When God thinks about you, God is delighted. It is a huge bummer that these prophetic texts have gendered this godlike jealousy as wayward women being taken back by faithful men. If you have perhaps read any of the narratives of the Hebrew Bible, you probably know that's not what actually happens in the lives of the Hebrew people. But that is what we're given here. And what we're offered is a relational vision of God. It's pretty amazing that something's on the line here for God. We're not talking about someone who could give or take on your wholeness and thriving. God is actually mad about it. God feels something, expresses emotion when human creatures turn towards lesser loves and vengeful gods. A big love, a perfect love, a love that is whole, complete. If we believed that love, maybe we wouldn't need envy anymore. Maybe our lives wouldn't be about scheming to get the stuff we don't have, or enveloped in sadness of not being smart or good or strong as the others. If we didn't have to compete anymore, perhaps we could imagine what the world might look like. I bet you can see it. Perhaps people would grow to old age because war and political famine and economic tyranny wouldn't have any place to touch down in our lives. We wouldn't need to consolidate power by targeting children or books or ideas or other countries, because we could trust that this perfect love of God is stretching out all around us. This love, this jealous love, it's for all of us. Amen.